Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/older adults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere. From dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke, an asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Boeing CEO David Calhoun on Capitol Hill testifying about the airplane maker's quality control following several incidents. Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal said Boeing's claims it had fixed earlier problems were just that, referring to the Alaska Airlines door plug that flew out mid-flight this year.
Some sort of believe that Boeing might have changed, but then this past January, the facade literally blew off the hollow shell that had been Boeing's promises to the world.
Calhoun says the company is making changes and also apologized to victims' families of those killed on Boeing incidents. President Biden expected to take executive action on two new immigration policies today, including protections for undocumented immigrants who are married to American citizens and help them from being deported. Russian President Vladimir Putin has arrived in North Korea, his first visit there in 24 years. The U.S. says it's concerned of the growing relationship. This is ABC News. The fight between Texas Attorney General and a Catholic charity that provides services to asylum seekers gets a hearing in court.
The state of Texas argues that the four-decade-old Annunciation House is illegally harboring undocumented immigrants.
Because Annunciation House denies entry to law enforcement.
Robert Farquharson argued on behalf of the Attorney General that the shelter should be closed. Representing Annunciation House, Jerry Wesovich told the judge,
what you have been just told is utter nonsense.
He says the facility has Fourth Amendment protection against unreasonable search and seizure. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
A ruling is anticipated in the next 2 weeks. Imports of avocados and mangoes from western Mexico now suspended due to security reasons. The USDA did not reveal the specific security threats. That same region had a gang-related problem that affected shipments 2 years ago. Prices are not expected to rise unless there is extended delays. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Because now at Staples, you can save up to $50 on your print purchase. From posters and flyers to signs and menus, Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. And with Staples Print Perfect Guarantee, it's done right or it's printed again free. Plus, same-day service is available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. Get it printed right at Staples. And now get up to $50 off your print purchase. And 7-6, visit staples.com/print for details.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Temporary leader is chosen for Milwaukee Public Schools. District's board Monday evening named Eduardo Galvan acting superintendent of the district. Galvan, who is an MPS regional superintendent, was selected earlier this month to take over operations of the district following the resignation of Superintendent Keith Posley. The board's decision gives Galvan more responsibility to oversee MPS functions. Galvan will remain in the role until the board names an interim superintendent, possibly before the new school year begins. The permanent superintendent is not expected to be hired by the district until next summer. An update on the search for 3-year-old Elijah Vu. Two Rivers police say drones and canines have continued to search for the missing toddler. While the FBI follows up on national tips and agencies within Wisconsin look into leads, specifically in northeast Wisconsin and the Wisconsin Dells and Portage areas, the department says water searches and drone activity will continue. They add that social media rumors claiming that Elijah has been found are not true. The boy has been missing since February 20th. A man who brought guns to the state capitol pleads guilty.
44-year-old Joshua Pleasnik showed up at the capitol not once, but twice last October, both times looking to talk to Governor Tony Evers and both times armed with firearms. Pleasnik initially appeared outside the governor's office. He had a handgun and told Capitol Police he wanted to speak with Evers. Pleasnik was arrested but posted bail and hours later was outside the now closed building, this time with an assault rifle. Last week, he was sentenced to 30 days in the Dane County Jail after pleading guilty to a misdemeanor charge of carrying a firearm in a public building. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
When your reputation is on the line, go to the Midwest leader, Bauer Built Tire and Service, for all your tire and service repair needs. They've been supplying cars, SUVs, light and medium truck tires, as well as farm tires since 1944. Plus, they've built their reputation on services such as alignments, brakes, and suspension work that will exceed your expectations. Stop in today at Bauer Built Tire and Service on Mall Drive in Eau Claire and in Durant. Bauer Built, built on service.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy today, highs in the upper 80s, winds gust to 30 out of the south. Any shower or thunderstorm could have heavy rainfall, including tonight, a low around 64 degrees and still a bit on the breezy side. For Wednesday, storms in 73. Thursday, scattered storms, a high around 76. For Friday, showers and maybe a storm with highs in the low 80s.
Currently 83 degrees.
Mixed day of trade in the grain markets with an increase in the influence of some of the outside markets. Crude oil, for example, traded higher to give the commodity world a general boost. The livestock markets were mixed but mostly lower, while cotton futures saw some long overdue short covering to lift prices.
Live from 2-2 Tuesday via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Sam Hudson from Corn Belt Marketing. Directly following the news, Brian Split from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Lurie.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Welcome to AgriTalk, everyone. I am Chip. That is Davis.
Hello.
And a bit of a recovery in the corn and soybean markets today.
Yeah,
that was nice to see. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it can't go down forever, right? Can't go down forever.
I don't know if we can say that or not.
I'm saying
We used to think, mm-hmm. we used to think that the downside risk in the market was to zero. Mm-hmm. Until crude oil proved us wrong during the pandemic.
That's
and
right.
traded negative.
Did it go clear to negative? It wasn't like just a little negative either. Wasn't it like negative 45 bucks or something like that? It was insane.
37 is in my head. Negative 30. Okay. But it could have been 45.
Difference and call it 40. We'll call it 40.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So, yeah, it did show us that the market can actually trade negative. But I don't think we're in that kind of shape at all here. The market's just spending a lot of time trying to figure out exactly what the next step is. I would say that there's some confusion, some uncertainty over the Brazilian tax issues. Jack Scoville, Price Futures, has been talking about that. We're going to talk about it a little bit more with Sam Hudson from Corn Belt Marketing today. Yesterday, we busted through some levels of support in corn, in soybeans, in wheat. Today, just a bit of an upside recovery, or did we restart a rally? We'll talk to Brian Split from AgMarket.net about that here in just a couple of moments.
Great.
All right. You ready? Let's get started.
I think I'm ready. USDA says 27% of the U.S. winter wheat crop was harvested as of June 16. Chip, that's 13 points ahead of the five-year average pace. The quick harvest ramped up harvest hedge pressure on wheat futures yesterday and follow-through selling weighed on the market again today. July soft red winter wheat futures led the drop in wheat. Front month SRW posted a high range open and closed near session lows and at the lowest since April 19. Wheat bears are targeting support at the April 18 low of 550. Spring wheat crop condition ratings of 76% good to excellent as of June 16 were up 4 points from the previous week. July HRW wheat futures today 4¾ cents lower at $6.75. July SRW wheat down 9.5 cents to 582. July spring wheat closed at 6.32¾, down 5¾ cents, Chip.
All right, looking for, okay, here we go. The spring wheat condition report, 76% good to excellent, just 4% poor to very poor.
Oh, wow.
So not a lot of stress in that spring wheat crop.
Yep. Well, December corn futures got back most of what was lost yesterday and posted an inside trading day with a low range open and a high range close. Slight deterioration of the U.S. corn crop gets some of the credit for today's short covering. USDA rates 72% of the crop in good to excellent condition, down 2 points from the previous week. Traders also pointed to good demand for U.S. corn in the export and ethanol markets. The weather forecast is a mixed bag with some stress potentially developing in the eastern corn belt. July corn futures today 6¼ cents higher, 450. September corn up 5¾ cents to 455¾. December corn futures closed to 467¾, up 4¾ cents. Chip, 450.
You know, I don't know what I'm missing.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm missing on these corn crop conditions. Okay. Because I drove through southern Minnesota, and right now Minnesota has got 0% rated very poor and just 3% rated poor. And that's one of the holiest crops I've seen in a long time. There are drowned out spots and yellow corn everywhere. I don't I don't know what I'm missing.
Well, USDA says 70% of the U.S. bean crop is in good to excellent condition, and that's down 2 points from the previous week. But that did very little to support new crop bean prices. Old crop beans found more support from uncertainty about Brazil's export tax scheme and from reports that lawmakers are urging EPA to increase bio-based diesel mandates for 2026. November soybean futures opened slightly lower and spiked support at yesterday's low. Prices rallied to moderately higher levels, then fell back to post a low-range close. But above the opening range, July beans 16¼ cents higher, all told, 11.74. August beans up a dime, 11.56. November beans closed at 11.32. That's up 1¾ cents, Chip.
5% of the bean crop is rated poor to very poor. That is up just 1 point from the previous week.
December cotton today was 99 points higher at 72.76. Those condition ratings for the cotton are pretty decent this year, too, aren't they?
Yeah, I do believe so. The planting progress is looking good.
Yeah.
And then the cotton conditions were coming in at 54%. Yeah, 54% good to excellent.
Okay. Well, live cattle futures inched to the downside again today, even with the boxed beef market higher on strong morning movement. Traders generally expect the cash market to ease from last week's all-time high. August live cattle today were 70 cents lower at 182.10. August feeder futures off $1.37½ to $259.95. In July, lean hogs today $1.60 lower at $93.77½. The October contract actually up 17½ cents to $78.40, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Brian Split, AgMarket.net. How you doing, Brian? Take that mute off there, buddy.
No, that was me. My mute.
Oh,
that was Big Apple Joe with the mute. Sorry, he's Brian. Fine. How you doing, man?
Can you hear me now? Did Joe fix it?
I can hear you now. What do you make of what's going on in this corn trade?
We went down and hit some support coming out of the weekend, and I think there's been a lot of talk about a potential head and shoulder top forming in D's corn. If you're looking for some symmetry in the pattern, based on the scope of the left shoulder, I think we've got another shot of going up to 480 one more time. We made two highs on the left shoulder. One was the quarterly stock and planning intentions report, and then there was another peak at 480 about a week before that. So I think things are lined up with the crop conditions next week. I got to think that with the heat that we're going to see, especially in the eastern belt, that we're going to see conditions deteriorate further. Yeah. I think we probably could bounce into those condition ratings and then maybe meander up around that area as we get into the quarterly stocks and planning intentions. But I think that report's going to drop the hammer on corn. And in my opinion, we're going to have corn trade in the month of July a lot like how wheat traded in the month of June thus far.
Wow. Okay. We've got the quarterly grain stocks report coming up, the acreage report coming up. We got to keep that on the radar screen too, don't we?
We do. You know, there was a lot of surprise on the March planting intentions because there were acres that just didn't show up on that report. So I think a lot of people are wondering if acres are all of a sudden going to show up on this report. And if we see that corn number, you know, north of 90 in a material way, I think that's going to have a heavy weight on the market, especially if some of the short-term weather that we're concerned about right now doesn't pan into something as far as a major, bigger picture concern.
Right, right. Yep. I mean, it is hot out there. There's no question about it. It will be interesting to see how the market or how the crop handles that going forward. Brian, thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you guys.
All right, Brian Split, agmarket.net. We're going to talk more about crop conditions. We've got to talk about money flow. What are the funds doing? Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing, next.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at agmarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's a risk of loss in trading futures under options.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
There's danger out.
Join Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin to discover, taste, and celebrate Wisconsin dairy during June Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin cheese can be found in 99% of grocery stores across the country? Just look for the Proudly Wisconsin Cheese badge at your local grocery store to support Wisconsin family farms. Taste the finest Wisconsin dairy products across the state or visit a dairy breakfast on the farm to learn more about Wisconsin dairy.
This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by Bauer Seeds and Service, your pioneer seed dealer serving Western Wisconsin.
Which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? With Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bauer Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
I don't know what you're thinking, so call us,
at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Shout out to the
Welcome
good doctor.
Back. What was that?
Shout out to the good doctor, Professor Tim Smith.
Oh, yeah? What do you got Rammstein. Going there?
He loves Rammstein, is the thing.
Oh.
Yeah, he loves it. He's so fired up right now, I can feel it. Yeah, good stuff. Stay safe out there, doctor.
Glad that we can do that. Glad that we can do that. All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. Indeed. Just got this from Aaron. Mm-hmm. In Southwest Iowa, got this
Hello,
by
Aaron.
Email.
All right.
Yep. Host@agritalk.com is where he sent it. Southwest Iowa corn is also very holy.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Planted into very poor conditions. Any chance that much of the 7% that is not emerged is actually drowned out and never will? That's a possibility.
Ooh. Good question.
I'm not exactly sure what the rules are on that, Aaron. And I know what you're saying. So if you're looking at a 40-acre field and 4 acres isn't emerged by your best estimate, do you call it 90% emerged for that field? Or is it that you drive by 10 cornfields, 9 of them have emerged and 1 of them hasn't, and you call it 90% emerged? I'm not exactly sure how the crop enumerators handle that.
Yeah, that's a great question.
We're going to have to dig into that. I will drop a note over to Lance and see what he comes up with over at NAS.
Let's shake the tree for Aaron. What do you say?
We might as well. Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do it.
All right. Good question, Aaron. Let's get to Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing. He is our guest analyst today. Sam, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Hot. It's hot.
Yeah. Man. Dang, man.
The fire hydrants are fighting over dogs over here.
Crazy. Have you ever seen such
gold
a thing?
Gold star, Sam.
Can you imagine being a corn plant? I mean, the humanity in this is, I mean, you know, shut it down.
Shut it down. Let's see. What do we got? Here we've got a... we have got a feels like, I don't even see the feels like. They don't even want to show me the feels like on the weather, but it's 86 degrees here in Northeast Iowa right now and humid as heck.
It's actually a little bit better today than it was yesterday. Yesterday was even worse, but you know, we're looking at these conditions, you know, at least around here for another week. And I think that's something, you know, Brian mentioned, maybe some condition concerns in the central and eastern corn belt where we stay dry. Probably limited to some of the later planted stuff, but I think you got equal concern, and you know, you touched on it up in southern Minnesota, parts of Wisconsin, northwest Iowa, the eastern Dakotas, even northeast Nebraska, where they've been inundated with a lot of water, and there's some more on the way.
Yeah, there's some of the pictures from Minnesota where they've had way too much rain. I mean, full quarter sections flooded. Standing water up, you know, halfway up the fence posts in some of those fields. It's absolutely can't see any corn. They say there's corn planted in it, and you can't see any corn because it's all underwater. That is tough.
Well, and take note of that because, you know, I think that's exactly what leads to kind of a longer term, you know, thing playing out here with harvested acres as opposed to just, you know, losing acres in general on this next report.
Yep. That's great point. Great point. How much is that contributing to the day-to-day vibrations in the market? I mean, yesterday we started the week lower and had the nice comeback in corn and soybeans today. Is crop conditions, is that part of the reason why?
I don't really think so. I mean, I think it's an easy scapegoat. I feel like if it was a good reason why, we wouldn't have been down so hard yesterday because everyone was expecting it to be lower, you know? So, you know, I really think that these European wheat values, you know, stalling into a wall here. The fact that we've, you know, we got to take these July contracts off the board and there's plenty sitting around, I think just kind of keeps the market suppressed. And so we got another couple weeks of that to work through. 10 days from now, we'll get a kind of a resetting of the table here. And, you know, you got to note the demand's been good enough here that, you know, we shouldn't expect any, you know, big concerns there moving forward. And I think it opens the door here of figuring out, you know, if this quarterly data, be it acres or be it stocks or a combination of both, if there's a chance of getting our corn carry out back under the 2 billion mark just from a psychological level as we go into midsummer.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of a yield do you think that the corn market has got factored in right now?
I would say 177 to 175 is probably going to catch most of the expectations. I think it's easy to write it down to 177, similar to last year, just kind of out of the gate. But again, and you know, again, it conjures up an avenue where what if we bump demand 50 to 100 million because we continue these counter seasonal exports and ethanol remains good and the feed usage remains good. And then all of a sudden you write yield down 5 or 6 bushel. You know, it's a tenable situation to keep at least an artificial floor under the market, but you know, we're just not running out of any of it today, and we got to get rid of these off-farm stocks here first, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you seeing any kind of an indication from the cash market that those on-farm stocks are starting to loosen up and move a little bit?
I think you're on the front end of that now. You know, when we saw the rally, you know, this initial kind of bounce up, we saw initial rally there at the beginning of May, you know, just as things were starting to get wet. Obviously, no one's really concerned about getting stuff delivered there. I think commercials had a bit of coverage going into that time frame. But after this last drop, I think is probably the most evident. We saw a drop in December corn, and I guess we should really be talking about the July. The July got down into the upper 430s, I believe, and then bounced all the way back to 460. On that little move there, basis really appreciated on the move down. And if you think about it, spring is really stretched out here. You got planters that are literally still in the field. People going into side dressing, spraying, I mean, you name it. And trucking just wasn't at the top of the priority list, especially when cash prices, moderate and come down. Everyone's more interested in hauling on contract at their good prices than, continuing to sit out here and commit to more. And so at this point, I think the concern becomes who's going to get caught holding the bag here. Flat price still isn't performing all that well right now. And I just think you got nowhere to go.
Why would you wait? I mean, seriously, why would you wait?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's the ultimate question, isn't it? I mean, especially from an interest rate standpoint, front end basis standpoint. I mean, it's been a Hertz donut if you're still making these decisions. It's the tough ones to make. But, keep in mind, we're head based at in an elevator. And so we see both sides of that, people we advise, people we don't, but have a pretty good handle on, the general population and how that's positioned.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you have decided to keep corn in the bin, that's one thing. If you've got a reason for it, maybe you got a feedlot or a feed mill close to you, and you just know that at some point this summer that base they're going to come calling, and it's going to get you a basis push, and it's going to pay for keeping that grain in storage. If you know that about your marketing situation, great, good for you, that's awesome. But if you're just selling into a generic market, I'm not exactly sure why you hold on to it and don't transfer risk to paper. If you want some upside exposure, move it over to paper at this point, don't you?
Yeah, that's what I would think. I think you're gonna be dealing with this overhang really into the August timeframe. And, we talked about 175, 177, even if we propose, that you can argue sub 175, when is that going to take place? USDA is not touching a yield until September at the earliest, maybe even after that. And so we just got so many things to get through. We've just seen wheat fall more than a dollar off the highs. And so there's just not a whole heck of a lot to be excited about. But in that void, I believe those, the spreads, the basis. I mean, if you look at it, when we had that rally, the basis was the first thing to go. The spread cracked back and then went the market. And so I would expect the same thing here on the way back up once we flush this July off.
Well, how much of an influence has wheat had on corn? It just, yesterday when wheat was sharply lower, it felt like corn got drugged to the downside, and if it wouldn't have been for that big sell-off in wheat, to me it felt like corn had a chance of trading higher in front of the crop condition update that we got from USDA. So there's got to be some influence there, isn't there?
There's some. It's not a ton, though, because keep in mind, I mean, it did the same thing on the way up. We rallied, dollar or more on the way up, and corn rallied, 25, 30 cents or something from or maybe 35 cents, 40 cents from low to high. And so we get the same effect on the way back down, but the sentiment in general, just the world grain values, that's what gives the funds a little bit more confidence and holding on to short positions, especially when they know the producers are long and all the headlines are stacking up, neutral to negative, and you still have the supply buffers in place.
All right. Yeah, but it was more fun when wheat was rallying and pulling corn to the upside. Let's see.
It sure was. Yeah, the story's not over. I mean, we could still see some export restrictions, but if that's to happen, I don't think it's going to happen until late July or even into August.
Right, right. And as of right now, just the hedging that's coming into this wheat market is really something, isn't it?
Yeah, but harvest is starting about 2 weeks early, it seems like, around here. It's crazy.
Yeah. Man, that went super fast. Okay, we are in the middle of a conversation with Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing. We've got a lot of ground that I want to cover yet, including the influence of some of the outside markets. Crude oil trading over $80 a barrel. What kind of an impact is that having on the soy complex? We'll find out what Sam thinks next here on AgriTalk.
Farming is unlike any other job in the world. It takes years of experience to really walk the walk. Same goes for your financial partner, which is why choosing FBN Finance makes so much sense. FBN Finance was created by farmers to help you become even more competitive with flexible terms, rates, and instant approvals up to $2.5 million for qualified applicants. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 163-1119.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. Where July HRW wheat futures were 4¾ cents lower at $6.75. July SRW wheat down 9½ cents to 582. July corn futures were 6¼ cents higher at 450 even. December corn futures closed at 4.67¾. That's up 4¾ cents today. July soybean futures were 16¼ cents higher at 11.74. November beans closed at 11.32. That's up 1¾ cents. December cotton today, 99 points higher, 72.76. On your livestock, August fats today, 70 cents lower, 182.10. August feeders down $1.37½ to 2.59.95. And June lean hog futures today, $1.60 lower at 93.77½. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
Daily money management from Numbers R Us. It's all the same things an accountant does for a business, but for you. Whether it's an older loved one, a member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Rhonda at Numbers R Us makes your financial life headache-free and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Rhonda handles bills, deposits, and payments, monitoring accounts, and providing complete transparency. Set up a free visit with Rhonda at numbersrus.com.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy today, highs in the upper 80s, winds gust to 30 out of the south. Any shower or thunderstorm could have heavy rainfall, including tonight, a low around 64 degrees and still a bit on the breezy side. For Wednesday, storms in 73. Thursday, scattered storms, a high around 76. For Friday, showers and maybe a storm with highs in the low 80s. Currently 83 degrees.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Jep. Glad that you are with us on this Tuesday afternoon. We are having a conversation with Sam Hudson from Corn Belt Marketing. Like I said at the end of the last segment, Sam, let's jump right into this, the influence of some of the outside commodity markets. What kind of influence does an $80 crude market have on the commodity world?
Well, you know, we're always dealing with the glass ceiling for ethanol, right? We can only grind so much. I think it just offers stability at the end of the day. I don't think we should expect any, major concerns about cutting demand in these subsequent reports, both, domestic usage and the export side. You know, again, we're seeing some pretty strong counter-seasonal exports. Wouldn't be surprised to actually start dialing that number back up as we get closer to the next marketing year. So I think that's the most we can, boast about it right now. There's just so much coming down the pipe ship with, the biofuel policy and just guidance in general. And unfortunately, we've touched on this in the past. I just don't know if we're going to get a whole lot of clarity on that until we get through these elections.
Yeah. Okay. So. Okay. What kind of an influence? Let me ask this just a little bit of a different way. What kind of an influence does a strong energy market have on funds and their willingness to invest in commodities? In other words, is there the potential for another inflation play?
Absolutely. I don't know if it's right away. I think the short-term play for energies in particular, I think it's maybe geopolitically based, because you're going to see this played so much about, how we've drained the SPR and how, yeah, inflation in general has been, weighed around our neck. That's not changing, but, keep in mind the Fed's stance on everything. They're not going to let this thing run away. They're going to do everything they can to keep a leash on it. Where we're going to be at in, another 2 years, I cannot even tell you. And so one aspect of it, though, is our exports. We talk about ethanol domestic production and how that's provided stability. That's not even been the best, brightest part of it. I think it's really been our export market. The fact that we're finding more outlets for it, the fact that the world's interested in that, I think has been a huge benefit amidst all this uncertainty that we're going to have here in the next 3 to 5 years.
Okay, you've mentioned corn demand a couple of times now. I want to talk a little bit more about it. Let's just, in our imaginary supply and demand tables, hold the supply side steady. Is the demand side of the balance sheet enough to get corn carryover under 2 billion bushels?
I think it's possible, but not much. I think it would be enough on its own to maybe get it there. I think you could press that up 100 million, but it's going to take some time. And by the time we see that, we're probably going to be, focusing more on, what harvest yields are. I think this is more of a kind of a September issue. I don't think we're going to get this, just all at once. It's going to be 25 at a time, something like that. So, again, it offers stability, but it doesn't offer such a strong throttle that we can really change things in a big way. And, but again, counter-seasonal exports is one of those factors that we had to see alongside continued yield threats. And we got both of them cooking right now.
Yeah. So if we can maintain the demand pace or base, whichever, for corn exports and for corn for ethanol, and actually see the supply side of the balance sheet pull down to that 177 to 175 for a national average corn yield, we're under 2 billion bushels.
Sure. Yep.
Okay.
And I think that's what could, help base the market as you get it closer to the 450 December mark. I'm not saying you can't trade below there. I really think you could take July still down to the 430 mark, but it might be the last day we can, trade the longs in that market. And so, it all comes down to timing. I just think if that happens, the producer is going to be pretty slow to commit to selling corn under 450 until they know what they've got. Because when you talk about, yields being 10 to 15% lower and 425 cash, no one's going to commit to that. It's just not going to happen. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's how you tighten spreads. Keep an eye on that DEIS July spread for next year in that regard, because I think you can tighten that up. I think you can see some really strong basis opportunities as we seasonally do as you get in that November timeframe. If this all plays out, the way we think it could.
Okay. All right. Very good. We've got option expiration on Thursday, don't we?
Correct. Yep. And then first notice day there on the 28th. So
on the 28th, anything that you are watching as far as, big volume and the market's making a move to a specific strike price, do you see anything there?
A couple things I would note over the last few weeks, you know, on this last move lower, as funds have kind of piled back into shorts, you know, we saw them get pretty well covered up and then got right back to, you know, short 200,000 or more. We've seen some chunks of bigger out of the money call buying going on. I think that's them probably protecting their position. I think they realize that, you know, there's nothing that can immediately threaten this thing. You know, again, USDA is not coming out here and cutting any yields, you know, for another 3 or 4 months at a minimum. And they know the old crop is out there. And so I think that's one thing. The other thing to consider here though is, you know, just timing of all of it. I think it's, you know, getting from these levels at this time with the volatility where it's been trading, I find a little bit of reluctance in wanting to be short a bunch of call option premium with a lot of time on it. I think anything, you know, by third week, you know, of August or something is probably okay, but that's something you could fight all the way up if we end up. And then we get a bunch, you know, keep in mind, China's been really slow to the punch on buying new crop beans. What if they just, you know, all this comes together in the same 3 or 4 months? That's our best pricing opportunities, but unfortunately it could be the last for a while too.
Yeah. China's not just been slow to, on the punch to
they haven't punched at all, have they? They haven't even taken their hand out of their damn pocket.
Gee. Dude.
I don't know what they're doing with that. I don't know.
I was just going to ask you, what are they doing? Talk about uncovered.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, you know, and I'm starting to have that discussion more and more because the longer they wait, to me, it almost becomes a supportive factor because I really firmly believe they will come. I think they have to fill that hole between our harvest and South America's. Even if the total volume at the end of next year is not what we want it to be, at some point they still got to come. And we saw three flash sales here of late on the old crop soybeans. Let's hope that starts a trend here and they start bottom picking here as we get into midsummer. If they feel like the market is, you know, kind of done flushing, keep in mind, everyone's been looking for lower bean prices via stocks to usage, including myself. But at some point you just have to say, okay, that's possible, but you know, it's not guaranteed that we can end up there. And the first way we can change a thinking, it would be is if we see a meaningful adjustment in these acres. So head on a swivel coming out of the 28th. After that, it could get boring for a little while again.
Okay. All right. Brazilian tax issues and what they're looking at on export taxes. I'm not exactly sure where this is going to go. What are your thoughts on this, Sam?
I try not to put too much mental energy into it, honestly. I mean, and you know me on politics, I'm kind of that way with everything. So couple that with my cynicism on things. But at the end of the day, it is definitely something we have to watch. I don't think it's a short-term issue, though. We saw kind of a knee-jerk reaction when this was starting to be discussed.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, timing, the teeth of it is always going to be key. And one of the problems that we've seen in these South American producers, how many headlines have we seen where people are going bankrupt, they're going broke? They're having the same problems that American producers have when we overproduce because they're growing acreage so quickly, right? One of the problems that goes along with that is not having enough storage. That was part of their basis blowout last year. And so at the end of the day, even if you're getting taxed, even if your commodity's worth less, if you need money, you got to sell it. And so I think that, you know, carries us into kind of a normalcy still moving forward, but I think it really impacts the desire of expansion moving forward, production expansion, how much more are people going to be willing to bite off and chew off and become a big thing. How long can you hold off until something could change or revert back? And so definitely something to watch, but fortunately, I don't know if you can put a whole lot of stock into it.
You know, the farmers in Brazil politically carry a lot of power. And anything that would make their product worth less in the future because of taxation, squash that before it's even got a chance or, you know, before it could even get its first breath.
We thought the same thing about them, you know, banning DJI drones too, you know. Here we are, you know. You never know in politics anymore.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Okay, we talked some about old crop corn. What are we waiting for? Talk to me about new crop corn marketing. Where do you want people focused?
Well, it's almost the same answer there. Is if you've been waiting for until this point to get started, it's kind of a tough nut to crack on where to get started. But at the end of the day, you might still need to get started, right? So again, conversations we don't want to have. I know no one knows what their crop is, but as we go forward in time, you can narrow down what it is and what it isn't, right? And so I think that, and again, that ties back to, I think the reluctancy that people are going to have in pricing, because when they start dialing in a 10%, 15% lower yield, if you got holes, as you're talking about, it just doesn't look good on paper. And you do have a bunch of new insurance policies. Some people set the base price last fall. all these different little products, I think, help keep grain off the market, especially if a bunch has been held over and puked. And we talk about that old crop supply, and you mentioned our elevator and some of those numbers we see. We're seeing about 5 to 6% more farmer ownership this time of year than we typically do. Yeah. So it just gives a little perspective. I know that we're just a small test sample, but it's probably a pretty good one. Yeah. And that keeps me thinking that we just don't have to run away to the race, here, but it's going to be a longer term thing. And so you're going to have to figure out how to keep cheap, longer term ownership. And honestly, sometimes the cheapest way to do that is to have on-farm storage.
Okay. Okay. Any different view on bean marketings?
No, I self-admitted, wish I had a few more beans marketed. I really thought we had a few more chances to kind of push up higher. At this point, I think you're just going to stay with a pretty slow market here. And I would say I was looking all spring for maybe a lower bean acreage number. The way things have turned out, I don't know if that's going to happen. But my initial, thought process on that was in lieu of cotton. You know, I thought we would see more cotton. Yeah. And so I still think that could be a factor independent of everything we've seen this spring. If you start ratcheting down bean acreage, you got to look out, because just like corn, we're going to pencil in probably a 50 bushel yield there until proven otherwise.
Right. Yeah, and when you put that 50 bushel yield in there, it's still pretty easy to get to a 400 million bushel carry, isn't it?
Yeah, which isn't super, super positive, especially when you look at all the uncertainty moving forward with it, with the biofuel market.
That's right. That's right. Man, great conversation, Sam. Good job, man. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Stay cool, all right?
Yeah, you too. You too. All right, that's Sam Hudson. Corn Belt Marketing. All right. Davis and I are going to pull some of the highlights from that conversation. We'll be right back to wrap up today's AgriTalk.
Hey, guys.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that the first June Dairy Month was celebrated in Wisconsin in 1939? Dairy Month was intended to showcase the national dairy industry in the face of drastic milk surpluses and plummeting milk prices. In 1944, Dairy Month was celebrated to promote dairy as vital to victory during World War II. Cheesemakers produce over 600 varieties, types, and styles of cheese. This message is brought to you by Wisconsin Credit Union. 14 locations to serve you. WisconsinCU.org. Wisconsin Credit Union, where they say, we belong to you.
Our community is made up of lots of different members with different interests and dreams. The same is true with our members at Wisconsin Credit Union, who count on us for lots of different things to help pursue those interests and dreams. From a range of savings and checking accounts to loans, mortgages, and financial planning, as well as specialized business accounts and services too. And unlike banking at some places where you're just a number, when you bank at Wisconsin Credit Union, you're actually an owner in a not-for-profit cooperative, which is how we can offer higher rates and lower fees and exceptional customer service. Plus, all the latest conveniences, too. You can even open accounts, apply for loans, and become a member online or by visiting any of our convenient locations. So, whatever your interests, dreams, or financial needs, anytime is the right time to join Wisconsin Credit Union. Start at WisconsinCU.org. Member eligibility required. Equal opportunity lender. Member NCUA.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
An economics podcast featuring down and dirty agronomic science to help grow crops and bottom lines. Here's a highlight of our latest episode.
In those very high loss environments, we can see as much as 30% of the nitrogen that's applied being lost to ammonia volatilization. However, if a farmer tills the soil or if he gets an incorporating rainfall, we'll move that urea deeper into the profile, then that ammonia gas is captured by the soil and losses are quite a bit less.
How much could we lose from denitrification?
Denitrification is a little harder to measure. So now you're losing nitrogen as nitrogen gas. If it's lost as N2, then, like I said, 78% of the atmosphere is already N2. A small amount of loss of N2 is not going to be able to be measured. But what researchers have done is they have over-irrigated fields and forced denitrification, and then they stop irrigating and let the profile have oxygen again, and then they apply nitrogen fertilizer and say, well, how much nitrogen did I have to apply to make up for that event where the soil was saturated? When they do studies like that, in Illinois, they found that about 4 or 5% of the nitrate nitrogen that's in the profile can be lost in each day of saturation. A similar study conducted in Nebraska showed about 2 to 2.5%. So there's variability depending on soil texture and drainage.
If you'd like to dig deeper, listen to the full episode on your favorite streaming site or on our website, nutrien-economicswithak.com, and stay up to date with the latest crop nutrition research and news to help you make better business decisions. New episodes of The Dirt drop every Tuesday, so be sure to tune in weekly.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I heard somebody say the other day, no grit, no pearl. Makes a lot of sense to me. Chip, yeah. No grit, no pearl.
I get it.
Yeah.
You got to have a little irritation in that oyster.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm more than happy to be that irritation, you know, daily. It's my job.
It's my job. I see where we're going now. Okay.
But let me ask you this. Let's go into the hypothetical world, okay?
Yes.
Are you there? Are you here with me? Okay, there you are. Okay, I got you. What if I said to you, you know what? Why don't you take the day off tomorrow? I want you to travel somewhere you've never been before.
Yeah.
I'll cover the shows. Okay. I'll line up the guests. Well, actually, Joe lined up the guests, but I will talk to the guests. I will do the things, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where do you think you would go? Just off the top of your head. Any idea?
So, I want to go down and fish redfish in Louisiana.
Ooh, redfish?
Right.
Okay. Okay.
That's not Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Well, it's not. No,
where I will be going.
I know. Yeah,
but the thing is, you said someplace that I've never been before.
Oh,
I've actually been through Stillwater before.
I should have known you've been to Stillwater, Oklahoma. Yeah,
yeah.
There aren't a whole lot of places. Chip's been everywhere, man. Like all over the place, bro.
Well, it's been a long career.
Yeah. You want to talk about what's up in Stillwater?
Stillwater, Trust in Beef Ranchers Tour. Big Apple mm-hmm. Joe are making our way down there. We've got a tour going on at there in Stillwater. You kind of caught me off guard here just a little bit. I need to figure out exactly where mm-hmm. we need mm-hmm. to send the people for the. There we go.
We'll
2024 sustainable ranchers tour. Just go to trustinbeef.com, and all the information is right there for you. And including, we're heading for Bertram Cattle
in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Be there on Thursday to learn about what they got going on down there at Bertram Cattle.
Are we going to get Big Apple Joe in a nice pair of cowboy boots? Maybe a, I don't know, 7 or 8 gallon hat kind of a thing? Does he dress for the occasions for these deals, Joe?
But
you got some boots?
Button down pearls?
Yeah, maybe. No. Again with the pearls.
Yeah.
I know Joe's got grit. He puts
full
up with
circle,
us all the
baby.
I'm really excited about tomorrow's show too. We're going to talk about the other stuff here in a second. But the markets are closed, right? Aren't they closed?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk about all kinds of stuff. We got a farmer forum. We got Dr. Scott Brown coming to talk about the ag economy. They just put out a new report. But then I've got the farmer forum with April Hemis and Michelle Jones.
Yes.
Tell me if this is a bad idea. I promise I will walk carefully, but there's a news story we didn't get to this morning that I wanted to run by them.
Okay.
A Texas federal judge temporarily blocked a USDA disaster relief program for giving preferential funding to women and minority farmers. The judge sided with a group of plaintiffs who claimed the program illegally discriminates against white male farmers. I'm really curious what they have to say about that.
Right.
I don't know. What do you think? Would I be stepping in it?
See, but no, I would definitely ask them. You feel free. Go for it.
Because these are I think you should. Smart, experienced, you know, women in
right.
ag.
And what that means is it means that USDA thinks it is necessary for them to correct some past wrongs that were committed to minority farmers and to women, that they just didn't get fair treatment when they went into the county office.
Yep.
Okay? And I am sure that in some cases, that is absolutely the truth. Mm-hmm. Is the reverse also true now? Whereas preferential treatment for minority farmers and women, I can't even think of the word. Is it racist, sexist against white farmers?
Is it equality?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I'm gonna ask him that. You know, and all kinds of other stuff too, of course. But I'm really looking forward to that. I got Bubba in the afternoon. I'm just going to, you know how I do. I'm just going to fire him up, just lob grenades at him and let him go. He'll be fine. It's going to be a great day of radio tomorrow. Although we'll miss you. We'll miss you terribly, Chip.
Well, I will not miss you because I will be listening as we are making our way down to Stillwater. I will definitely be listening.
A number that kept coming up, 10% lower yield risk throughout today's conversation, seemed more pervasive than ever before. We started the show talking about holes here and there in the corn crop that you have observed, that Aaron has observed. That 10% figure, some reason that came up like 3-4 times today in the
10%
conversation.
10% is a lot.
Yes.
You know, 10% is a lot. On average. So that's a lot. Now, can that happen when, according to Steve in Eastern Iowa, he says just replanted 35 acres of corn because of those 2 days of heavy winds that just shredded it?
Wow.
How do you like that?
We talk about corn drowning out. We talk about it hailing out.
Other issues.
Wow.
Steve had it come up, and then the wind tread it.
Yeah.
That is no good at all. So lots of different reasons. And Roger hit me with discrimination. Why couldn't I come up with that word? Is it discriminatory, these new policies? So National Weather Service, 6 to 10-day outlook. This is for June 24th through the 28th. It's got the above normal temperatures across most of the country. The very far PNW is the exception there. So we've got above normal temperatures expected in the Corn Belt, above normal precipitation also expected in the Corn Belt. The exception is the far western and far eastern production areas. We already highlighted it for you. Davis has got the microphone tomorrow. Scott Brown and the Farmer Forum with April and Michelle tomorrow morning here on AgriTalk.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is the place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.